everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. It's Friday morning, Fly Jams Friday, and all the other Friday features are coming up. What you just heard right there was a terrific song from the band Frankie and the Knockouts. And I've talked about this band on the show before. They were a favorite of mine in the 80s when I was in high school. And that song was a big hit for them. And the lead singer of Frankie and the Knockouts is Frankie Previtt. And he went on to not only score hits with that band, but also go on to write I've Had the Time of My Life and contribute to other great soundtracks. You know, winning a Grammy and all kinds of other awards. And he's had an interesting career and an interesting climb into the spotlight. And now a new box set that, by the way, was a live version of the song Sweetheart, which was their first top 10 hit. A new box set featuring a Frankie and the Knockouts, all kinds of stuff. It's got unreleased bootleg and studio demos. It's got live versions and all kinds of really cool stuff. And it's a great box set that's going to be available. An anthology of the Knockouts music comes out on November 30th, but it's available for pre-order right now. And I am really, really thrilled to have Frankie Previtt on the show. Frankie, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, I've told the story before, but I saw you guys open for Loverboy here in Chicago back in, I guess it was 82. And I thought you guys were. I've always been a fan of Frankie and the Knockouts, and I thought you guys were terrific on that. During that show. Did you play Chicago a lot when you guys were around?
We played a few times. We did something on the water, the Loop, or something. There was some kind of concert on the water.
Navy Pier. You played at Navy Pier, probably for Chicago Fest. That's
it. Yeah. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I always loved playing in Chicago. I was in a band called Bull Angus that back in the 70s, and we would tour with Rod Stewart and Deep Purple and all these other groups, and Chicago was one of my favorite places to go.
I'm glad to hear that. That's really terrific. So this new, I want to talk about this new box set. Wow. I mean, it's so exciting that this is coming out. I want to get to that in a second, but let's go back to where you started. Now you were actually selling cars in your parents' driveway back in New Jersey. Tell me a little bit about how that went.
Oh, Jesus. So, as I said, I was in this band, Bull Angus, and that band broke up, and I was in between record deals, and Bull Angus was kind of a riff rock band, more heavy, and I was trying to get another deal, and my parents, where I grew up, had an apartment upstairs and downstairs, and they said, you know, come home, go live downstairs. And yeah. Take the apartment. So to be able to stay and not have to join a cover band, I started, a friend of mine had a car lot, and he would take in used cars, and he would go, you know, here's an old Duster, clean it up and wax it up and put it in your driveway and sell it. And so I would do that, and I did that for a few years until I got a record deal on Buddha Records. And I became an R&B artist. And from doing that, from being an R&B artist on Buddha, I wasn't getting the same kind of rock and roll feeling I had with this other band. So I took the two sounds. I took the riff rock sound of Bull Angus and this R&B sound that from Buddha Records. And Tony Camillo was my producer on Buddha. And he was really a great mentor to me. He produced Gladys Knight, Midnight Train to Georgia. But anytime I would write an R&B song, we would record it. If I wrote a rock and roll tune, it would go in the drawer. So yeah. You know, I took these two sounds, this R&B sound and this rock and roll sound, and I created Frankie and the Knockouts, kind of a blue-eyed soul rock and roll band.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was such a terrific band. Now, how did you start? Were you always into music when you were young, Frankie? Was it something that did you start playing instruments at a young age, or were you into music at a really young age?
Well, you know, it's kind of my genetic pool. My dad was an opera singer. My mother and father met taking voice lessons from the same vocal coach.
Oh, wow!
And I can remember being 4 years old. And my father was playing convention hall, and I was sitting on my mother's lap, And my father was singing Paiachi. And right before he hit the high note, I stood up in the chair and I belted the note. And the whole place cracked up. My father stops the concert. He points to me, goes, "My son." And I kind of consider that my first gig.
That's fantastic. That's such a great story. That's great. And then, did you take vocal lessons as well when you got older?
My dad always helped me. And then, like I said, when I split from Bull Angus and being in a heavy band, Bull Angus was a heavy riff rock band. Leave there with shrapnel wounds. So I took lessons in New York from Ann Countryman for a couple of years to kind of get my voice back to being a crooner again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I did for a while. And then, when you start gigging and you have success and you're on the road a lot, so, you kind of take those lessons with you and you warm up before you sing, you warm down after you sing, you learn the tricks, you know?
Yeah,
I did for a while.
Well, now how did you said that you wanted to combine those two sounds that you were working on, the Buddha sound and the riff rock sound, but how did you get the band together? How did you find the Knockouts?
The Knockouts were, again, I go back to the Bull Angus, the guitar player in Bull Angus, Billy Elworthy, became the guitar player who I shared the apartment with. I called Billy, and I said, what are you up to? And he goes, I'm living in New York, and I'm trying to, find a band. I said, why don't you come stay at the apartment? We'll write some songs. So Billy, moved in, and Billy said, well, I got this keyboard player, Blake Levinson, who plays with this girl, what was her name? Anyway, she was trying to get a record deal, and he came down, and the three of us started writing songs. And so basically there was the three of us. And I met finally this guy named Bert Padell. And Bert Padell was considered accountant to the stars. He was the accountant for Madonna and Luther Vandross and all these stars. And I met him through a friend of mine. And Bert Padell did in 3 weeks what I took me almost 3 years to do. He got me heard by Jimmy Einer, who was the president of Millennium Records.
Yeah.
And so I went in and I played, met Jimmy, and he's listening to the songs. Now, mind you, there's only the three of us. And he goes, "You got a band?" "Oh, sure. Yeah, man, I got a band." And he goes, "Okay, well, if you can write a couple more really good songs, I'll give you a record deal." So then I went back and I wrote She's a Runner, who was on the first record. Mm-hmm. And I wrote another song and a couple of more songs, and I brought them back to Jimmy. You're My Girl was another one. Annie Goes Hollywood was another one. These are all songs off the first record.
Right, right.
And he goes, "Okay, I'm going to give you a record deal." And so I called up the guys that I did demos with, and I said, "We're going to go in and we're going to do a record." And we weren't really a band; we didn't have endings to songs, So because the songs in the studio just fade. And the last song I wrote right before we went in and recorded was a song called "Sweetheart."
Right.
And I played it for Jim, and he said, "It's kind of a really poppy song, and you're kind of a rock and roll band, a little heavier than this song, and you might get pegged as like a pop band." He goes, "But I think it's a hit record." And he goes, "Do you want to put that bullet in the gun?" And I said, so I said, "Sure, let's do it." And if you really listen, when I first went on the air with you, I heard you playing "Sweetheart."
Yeah.
And I heard the turnaround at the end of the chorus, and I went, "That's the live version."
Yeah, that's the version. They sent us the live version from the from the collection that's coming out at the end of November.
Yeah, and I could tell, because after we played it out live, we rocked it out a little more.
Yeah.
And the turnaround in the chorus, to go back to the second verse, had these kicks that weren't on the record that came out. because we had just learned the song within the first week of having to go record it.
Mm.
And so, you know, being a band, you go out, you play out, you do, you evolve. The songs all evolve as you play them out.
Right.
And that's why your second record almost becomes, you know, songs that you're practicing live, you know, to the audience.
Yeah.
And you're seeing reactions from the audience to know what songs to put on your next record.
Yeah. I have to tell you, the second album, Below the Belt, first of all, let me ask you this. It might seem like a stupid question. I love that album cover. It's one of my favorite album covers. I love the front and the back of that album. But who did the artwork for that album cover? Because I thought it was just terrific.
You know what? You got me.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm having... I don't remember, but I remember that I get a kick out of looking at that album because I came up with the picture and the Below the Belt, and then they had an artist, you know, come in and,
yeah,
you know, kind of do a drawing of us with a 56, I believe that's a 56 Chevy convertible.
Yeah. I just one of my favorite album covers of the 80s, I got to tell you. That's one of those albums, Reggie, that I wore out, man. I played that album. It was on my turntable constantly. And I really adore that record. It's one of my favorite albums of the 80s without question. And there's so many great songs on that record. And I want to talk a little bit about that and the new box set, which I'm really excited about. And of course, we have to talk about the success of the stuff that you wrote for Dirty Dancing. Where do you keep your Oscar, by the way?
It's right behind me. That's my Oscar's my manager.
All right, Frankie, hang on a second, okay?
Okay.
All right, there you go. Frankie Previtt, lead singer from Frankie and the Knockouts, Academy Award and Grammy Award winning songwriter of I've Had the Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing, and he did Hungry Eyes. He wrote for other movies, including Mystic Pizza and Rude Awakening. This huge new box set anthology of Frankie and the Knockouts comes out on November 30th. It's available for pre-order right now, and we have all the information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back more with Frankie Previtt right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Of course, you probably recognize that song, Hungry Eyes, from Dirty Dancing. But that's Frankie Previtt's version of it. Frankie is the writer of that song and also the lead singer of Frankie and the Knockouts. And the new boxed set anthology of Frankie and the Knockouts music comes out on November 30th, and it's loaded with all kinds of really extra, really very, very cool stuff. And I want to talk a little bit more about that with Frankie Previtt, who's with us. Frankie, welcome back.
Hey, Nick. You've done your homework. Wow.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. Let me talk a little bit about, before the break, we talked to, you know, we mentioned Below the Belt. There are so many great songs on that record. For me, the standout, among a lot of really just great songs, but for me, the standout is Not Another Lonely Night, which I just think is just a beautiful song, and it's one of my favorites. Where did that one come from? Without You, Not Another Lonely Night, where'd that come from?
Again, you know, you're stuck with your first album kind of being the greatest hits album because you've collected tons of songs because you didn't have a record deal, so you have a lot of songs to choose from. And so then your second record is really the songs that you're writing on the road and putting songs together. And you know, when I write songs, I usually write with another player, either a guitar player or, you know, a keyboard player. And we work out a track. And then from that track, I jam and usually just, you know, record my jamming to the songs. And so, you know, that's me coming up with a jam moment and spitting out some lyrics. When I wrote Time of My Life, I was in the car, exit 140 on the Garden State Parkway, going, "Then in a dime of my life," you know, and singing "Time of My Life," scribbling on an envelope. So these moments, you know, kind of are the seed that grows within you that, you know, come out. And so "Without You, Not Another Lonely Night" was just one of those moments. And, you know, the easy part for me is to find the melody. The hard part is to write the lyrics. So I write, and then I rewrite, and then I rewrite, and then before I sing it, I rewrite. So, you know, it's all a process. Everybody has their own way of writing songs.
Yeah. Well, it's a terrific song, as are so many songs on that record. And I'm really excited about this this box set. You must be excited, too, because this is the first time these albums have not been available for a very, very long time. But now everybody can get that, plus bonus tracks, rare demo stuff, unreleased recordings. You wrote some liner notes for it. Tell me a little bit about this. Must be exciting for you, right, Frankie?
It is. You know, Joe Rigozzo from Friday Music, that's the label. It's through Sony.
Yeah.
And you know, what's interesting about this is that the first two records we did were on Millennium. And then Jimmy Iovine decided that he was going to close his label and sell us to MCA. And MCA, when we got there, they said to us, "Well, we'd like you to sound like Night Ranger."
Mm.
And I said, why do you want to do that? I said, we already have kind of established, you know, we've had a couple of hits, and you want to change our sound? Yeah, we want you to sound like Night Ranger. And I said, well, you know, I'm not really in. I like Night Ranger. I think they're a really good band and stuff, but, you know, we'd like to be who we are.
Yeah.
And so they brought in Night Ranger's producer, and they remixed some of the songs, and then they put out, like, the hardest rock song that was on that record. And radio said, "Well, you know, where's Frankie the Knockouts? We're not ready. We're not ready for this."
Mm.
And I had written a song called "Come Rain or Shine" that was in the same feel as "Sweetheart." And I said, "That's the single." Jeff Beccara actually played drums on that from Toto,
because sure,
we had just finished touring with Toto.
Yeah.
And so, you know, MCA decided to drop us. And so that record really never got heard. It's and it's "Making the Point" is the record I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives a chance for that record to have a life again and people to hear. There's some good songs on that record that I think, you know, when you write a song, it's a seed from within. So it's kind of like a child. So I get my children heard, you know?
That's great, yeah. Yeah, that's great. I cannot wait till this comes out, Frankie. I'm so excited to hear it. Now, let me ask. I have to ask you, how did "Dirty Dancing" come to you?
Well, again, you know, part of what I do in life is try never to burn a bridge, because I don't want to have to pay a toll to get across. you know, 2 years after Jimmy Iovine closed his label, I got a call from Jimmy Iovine. And he said to me, "Listen, I've got this little movie. I want you to write a song for it." And I said, "Jimmy, I don't have time. I'm trying to get a deal, you know, and I'm in the studio all the time." You know, he goes, "Make time. This is going to change your life."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, "Yeah, you're going to change my life. Okay." Well, I kind of did that a few years ago when you shut your label. He goes, "No, I got to."
Okay.
I said, he goes, "I got a good feeling about this." I go, "Okay, what's the name of the movie?" And he goes, "Dirty Dancing." So the first thing I'm thinking is, Jesus, Jimmy's doing porn, you know?
Oh, man. Okay.
And he goes, no, I'm telling you, it's a good little movie. And he goes, "There's 149 songs submitted for that last scene, but you got 2 weeks." And he goes, "The good news is I'm asking you to write a song. The bad news is that the song has to be 7 minutes long."
Okay. All right. Frankie, I'm sorry. Frankie, can you hang on for a second? Because we have to take a break, and I don't want to interrupt the full story, okay?
You got it.
Okay, hang on a second. Frankie Previtt is with us, everybody, and he's the lead singer of Frankie and the Knockouts. This incredible new box set anthology of Frankie and the Knockouts music comes out November 30th. It's pre-order. He also is the Academy Award and Grammy Award-winning songwriter of I've Had the Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing, and we'll hear the story of how that song was written and everything when we come back at it after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. That's a song I played about 7,000 times a day when that record came out. That's Without You, Not Another Lonely Night by Frankie and the Knockouts. And the guy who wrote that song and sang that song with the Knockouts is my guest right now. The new box set anthology of Frankie and the Knockouts music is out November 30th. It's got a ton of unheard things and live versions, and it's going to be fantastic. And Frankie also wrote the Grammy Award-winning, Academy Award-winning song, I've Had the Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing. And we were just at the beginning of the story about how Dirty Dancing came to him. Frankie, welcome back, man.
Good to be back.
All right. So Dirty Dancing was not a porn movie, as you discovered.
I discovered that, you know, when Jimmy told me that the good news was that, you know, I got a chance to write a song for Dirty Dancing, the bad news was it had to be 7 minutes. And so I'm thinking, geez, MacArthur Park, I got to write MacArthur Park, you know?
Right, right.
You know, so I call up John DiNicola, who I wrote Hungry Eyes with for the Frankie and the Knockouts fourth record, which never happened. And everybody, all the labels turned Hungry Eyes down. Nobody heard that as a hit record.
Yeah.
And so asked John, I call him, I said, you know what? We have a chance here to write a, you know, song for this movie, Dirty Dancing, and it has to be an up-tempo song, but let's start the song with the chorus in halftime, in slow, you know, make it slow,
yeah,
and then double time the downbeat of the first verse, so we make it a dance song.
Yeah, yeah.
So he did that, and I took the track, I played it over the phone for Jimmy, he goes, I like it, make it a song. So I was telling you earlier, I was driving to the recording studio, and I had the track, a cassette back in 1987 of the song in my car on the Garden State Parkway in New Jersey,
yeah.
Exit 140, going, time of my life, going, you know, scribbling on an envelope, I've had the time of my life. And to tell you the truth, the man upstairs wrote that song because I had really no idea, just a little blurb of Jimmy saying boy meets girl in the Catskills and the father doesn't like the kid.
Right, right.
So basically, you know, that song was, again, you know, part of a jamming moment of me, you know, croaking out a melody to come up with this lyrical, I've had the time of my life. So when I met Patrick Swayze at the Academy Awards, he said to me, come here, I need to talk to you. I said, what's up? And he goes, who sang the demo? And I said, I did with this girl, Rochelle Capelli. And I said, why? What's up? And he goes, well, we really hated this movie. And I go, what do you mean you hated the movie? He goes, well, number one, Jennifer and I, you know, weren't really getting along that well. And we had listened to 149 songs, and we're getting ready to film out of sequence. They filmed the last scene first. And he said we had rehearsed to a Lionel Richie track. And he goes, we didn't have an original song. And he goes, your cassette came in, and we listened to it, and we said, we're making the movie to that song today. And he goes, so they reworked all the choreography. And he goes, at the end of the day, he goes, it was like this magical thing happened. And we looked at each other and went, oh, my God, what just happened? Let's go make a movie.
Mm.
And he goes, so the camaraderie was like a 180 for this movie. And it really helped us create the feeling of what you see as Dirty Dancing today.
Wow. That's wonderful, man. That is such a great story. And I'll tell you, I remember when that movie came out, You know, I like you, like when I first heard the title, I was like, what is this? And then it was such a small movie, and then it just exploded. I mean, it was just such, for people who don't remember back in when that film came out in 87, I mean, it was a monster and an unexpected hit, and really here, terrific.
Let me just interject something. Yeah. As you say, unexpected hit. RCA and Vestron Films, back when that song first came out, RCA put the Time of My Life out, and it started to creep up the charts on the AC charts. That's adult contemporary charts.
Right.
And RCA said to Vestron Films, "Where's your movie?" And Vestron said, "Oh, we forgot to tell you. We postponed it for a month."
Oh.
So RCA got bent out of shape and told Vestron Films that they, you know, weren't going to promote it anymore, and they walked away from it. And so Time of My Life fell off the charts. And so when Vestron Films decided to put the movie out, they were going to put it out for 2 weeks and then have it go directly to DVD, and that was it. Within the first 2 weeks of the movie was out, the song, Time of My Life, the record was back, 300,000 records got back ordered.
Wow.
And RCA was like spinning. Like, before they could press a record, 1 million records got back ordered.
Wow.
And so the public, Joe Public, the fans created Dirty Dancing and the song Time of My Life.
Yeah.
That's who created it.
And it felt that way too, you know, because I've been reviewing movies here at this radio station for a very long time, and including, you know, that film, and it felt like a grassroots kind of a thing. Like it felt like the fans made that happen. Like, people love that movie and they love the music in that movie, and it's really, to this day, every time I watch it, it feels just like really organic that the movie was made for people who love the movie, and the music was made that way too. It's a terrific movie.
Thank you, and that's why it's so hard to have a, you know, Lionsgate or whoever put out a remake of the movie.
Oh man!
Because there are so many fans. You know, 55 million people bought that record.
Yeah.
So the fan base is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's almost sacrilegious to, you know, to do another version of that film.
Absolutely.
And. You know, so there's a cult, there's a club called the Thousand Club of people who have seen the movie 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And that blows my mind.
Yeah, that's amazing. It really is amazing. Now, you mentioned, you talked to Patrick Swayze at the Academy Awards. What was that like? What was that night like for you, man?
Well, now, to tell you the truth, you know, my mother and father, I brought my mother and father to the Academy Awards with me.
Oh.
And so I'm sitting between them, and my father's listening to all the songs, and he listens, and he hears Time of My Life, and he hears the rest of the songs, and he looks at me and goes, "You're going to win."
Mm.
And I look at him, I said, "Dad, don't put the maloiki on me, you know?"
Right.
You know, I don't remember leaving the aisle and walking up on stage. I mean, it was so, like, you know, out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
And you know, I could, when I look at it, you know, and I look at me back in the 80s with my mustache, and I'm like, who is that guy? You know?
That mustache was a trademark, though, man. I you know, back in the in the Knockouts days, it was a trademark, man.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, listen, congratulations on everything, man. And I am so excited that this box set is coming out. I'm a huge Knockouts fan, man. And it's the box set anthology comes out November 30th, and it's loaded with all kinds of stuff that people have not heard. Besides the release of this anthology, what are you working on now, Frankie? What's up next for you?
Well, I have to, you know, say this because it means a lot to me. Because when Patrick passed away, I called the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, where Lisa Swayze was donating her time.
Yeah,
and I put together the original demos of me singing "Time of My Life" and "Hungry Eyes," and I sell them on Facebook on Dirty Dancing Demos, and I donate the money to the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network.
Oh, that's great.
And so I'm taking a dollar from every record, Frankie, this box set, and I'm donating it to the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network in Patrick's memory.
Oh, man.
I'm also working with one of the promoters or producers of Jersey Boys, which is the Broadway play Jersey Boys.
Right.
I put together, I kind of wrote a bit of a play, but it's a concert that a play that turns into a concert called Calling All Divas. And it's about four girls who compete against each other at different ages of their careers. One is like a mentor, and one she's like a Broadway star, and another one's a blues singer in Harlem. Another one is a subway singer, and another one's a country singer. And all these girls kind of compete against each other. And at the end of the first act, this guy has to pick one of them to make one girl a superstar. And so he can't figure out who he wants to make a superstar. So the second act is who he picks. And who he picks is he makes them a group called the Unforgettables. And the whole second act is of the Unforgettables concert. And so I've done it a few times in New York City at a couple of theaters. And now we're going to go on the road. We're going to Pittsburgh and Philly and hopefully Chicago. You know, that'd be a great thing.
That would be fantastic. Wow, that sounds like that sounds really great. I wish you nothing but big success. Okay, all right, Frankie, listen, man, I just want to say it's been a real pleasure talking to you, man. I've been a fan for a long time. Congratulations.
Nick, thank you.
I can't wait for this box set to come out on November 30th. And again, if people want to get some of the music on your Facebook page and donate to a great cause, and that's great that you're doing that. Frankie, congratulations on all your success, and I'm a huge fan, and thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right, take care. There you go. Frankie Previt, everybody. Lead singer Frankie and the Knockouts, Academy Award, Grammy Award-winning songwriter of I've Had the Time of My Life. The new boxed set anthology of Frankie and the Knockouts will be out November 30th, and you can pre-order it now. We have information on our Facebook page. That was great. Okay, let's take a break here on 720 WGN.